underestimate Tony Stark.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that off. What are you?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
Please tell me you're going to appeal to my humanity.
Actually, I'm planning to threaten you.
Yeah, Tony Stark was once again awesome in Homecoming, as Robert Downey Jr. always is in every Marvel movie. He's just a great actor. Man, Nick, I am just all spidied out after talking about this for three straight episodes now. This is episode 22, by the way. Oh man, but you got any last words on Spider-Man before we bury this topic?
No, I just hope that I hope this movie inspires a lot of comic book readers to go and give Spider-Man another shot if you've fallen off the fan wagon.
Oh, in the comics, you mean?
For sure.
Let's just give me somebody else writing it.
Buddy, if you tried Slott's Superior Spider-Man, I think you'd be hooked. Because it is Slott writing Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body.
Hmm.
And how would a villain approach having this fantastic, good-looking body? Especially a villain who has never been fantastic or good-looking his entire life.
Yeah.
It was just a great twist, and needless to say, it wrinkled a lot of people's panties when they announced that that's what was happening. And just like Red Hulk, like as soon as it started, people just shut up because it was such a good book. And it went on for a long time, but it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Because it was just such a different voice, so fresh. But there's plenty of books out there, plenty of new books that people should be reading. Even if you just read an arc, guess what? Just like look for an artist that you really like. You might not like the writer or do vice versa. But there's something to fill everyone's mood. And boy, if this movie just like springboards people into like, oh, let me try that. I never really read McFarlane's run, or I never really read Eric Larson's run.
Right.
Like, hey, I don't care. Whatever pulls you in. I mean, there's Frank Miller did some. I mean, there's plenty of great artists out there. There's plenty of great writers out there that's done Spider-Man. Just look for something that sounds good to you.
So it sounds like Dan Slott had a tweet about starting Amazing Spider-Man Legacy at number 789. So it sounds like he is going to be going to keep writing it post Legacy.
He wouldn't be writing if his stuff didn't sell.
Yeah.
So
is Spider-Man your favorite Marvel character?
Without a doubt.
Oh yeah.
No, Spider-Man's my favorite comic book character.
Oh yeah.
There's plenty of Spider-Man I've never ever read.
Well, there's a lot.
But see, I don't care. Like, it's one of those things, like, I'll get around to them. I just haven't yet.
Do you read DC?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who's your favorite DC character?
Ooh, holy cow. That changes quite a bit, but it's probably Dick Grayson. It's probably Robin.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't even, let's not even say Robin.
Interesting.
It's Robin with Batman. It's Robin on Teen Titans, Nightwing, and then Dick Grayson becoming Batman. Like, that's my guy.
Huh. Interesting.
But you have to realize when I started to read comic books, he was in Batman, and then I discovered George Perez with Titans, and that just sent me right into Nightwing. And I fell in love with Scott McDaniel. I mean, I fell in love with Chuck Dixon and Scott McDaniel on Nightwing and never really looked back.
And Spider-Man is higher on your board than Dick Grayson?
Oh, he's head and shoulders above everyone. He brings me right back to when Spider-Man was the comic book that I would look through because I was so young I couldn't read. And then I would go back to those issues and actually read them once I learned how to read.
Right.
So it's a soft spot in my heart. There's been decades where I dropped off of Spider-Man just because I got rid of Capes and Cowls out of my reading and went independent. But coming back, it's like people have told me, don't read Clone Wars. Oh, my God, it's a hot piece of garbage. And I look at that like, and I've looked at some of the photos and some of the like images from the covers and interior, and I totally see exactly what people are saying, but I'm actually excited to read those years of comic books that I've never read from.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I can tell you plenty of comics, Spider-Man comics to avoid, but I always find two or three nuggets in each issue that's like, that was worth it for me.
Yeah. Oh, no, I get that. So Ronnie's favorite character is Spider-Man also.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this because he has so much like storyline to pull off of when he talks about Spider-Man. But when I talk about my favorite character, I have like these very sparse,
mm-hmm.
small stories, and it's sort of like, you know, I get what you're saying, because it's like I'll take what I can get, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't care.
Absolutely.
If it sucks, it could be like, take the worst Marvel writer and have him write a Adam Warlock book, and I'm gonna buy it, and I'm gonna like it just for that fact and find something mm-hmm. to enjoy out of it.
Yeah, you have to. Even if it's horrible and dated, it's still one of those like, yeah, but this bridged it to
right.
go for him to go to this arc.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's now it's Adam Warlock's that's rough. That's rough.
And he's weird because he's sort of like an underground favorite where mm-hmm. people like him. He's never been a front and center character.
Yeah.
So maybe that means he doesn't sell. But
I think he hits right around like the Silver Surfer.
I always thought the Silver Surfer was a notch above him as far as popularity goes.
Possible. I mean, he's had plenty of titles, but they just never last.
Yeah. Well, that's another character I read a lot as a kid. I loved the Silver Surfer. I still do. And I've kind of been disappointed because Dan Slott's writing him also.
But then you have Mike Allred art. There's nothing wrong with Mike Allred's art.
A lot of people don't like him.
Oh, they are.
Doesn't his wife do the coloring or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Laura Allred.
Yeah. So they had this thing going on with. So I don't know if you picked up on this, but I'm going to send you some like screenshots if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you're going to think I'm the craziest guy you've ever met. But they have this thing. You know how she always wears polka dot dresses?
Mm-hmm.
Every single, almost like 90% of the pictures of what's her name? His girlfriend.
Good God! Yeah,
I don't remember her name. You know who I'm talking about though. She wears
Absolutely.
These polka dot shirts and stuff in every single picture of her. They put a black polka dot right on her, right where her would be in every single picture, to the point where I'm like, okay, they're doing this on purpose.
Absolutely. Allred's all about like pop art. He's all about Kirby. He's all about pop art. And why not make it a little sexy?
I can't imagine he would do that with his wife if his wife didn't have something to do with it. Like, she could do that and totally get away with it. But as a guy, you can't do that.
She's been coloring his stuff for decades. So I guarantee you she knows his style as well as his sense of humor better than anyone. And who the hell knows? Maybe she's doing it.
That's what I'm wondering.
Hey, rock on.
Dawn, that's her name.
There you go.
She's I loved what Dan Slott did with her. I loved the concept, mm-hmm. and I loved her character. It just, man, but the storylines were so silly.
Yeah.
I loved what he did, bringing sort of personality to the Silver Surfer by bringing her into the mix. Mm-hmm. But then all the adventures they went on, I just couldn't hang with that. It was just like, man, it's too... It was cool when the playfulness was Dawn and him together, but mm-hmm. the storylines all being playful just... was I don't know, too much.
Sometimes you just have to tap out.
Yeah, I still read it, to make sure I'm up to date on what's going on. But
I love, like you called them, adventures. I love when comics get away from world breaking, universe crashing type events, like. I don't mind when people just go on adventures. I love the, I think it was Greg Pak. It was Rucka. When Rucka did the Cyclops offshoot.
Yeah.
After they came back as little kids, or teenagers, I should say. I love the Rucka offshoot where him and his father, from Starjammers,
okay,
went off into space and just had like father and son adventures.
Starstruck, maybe?
Possible. Yikes. I know it's not Star-Lord, but it's something very similar to that. But it was just, it was pretty much, I mean, to be honest with you, it was all adventure. It was like a swashbuckling adventure. It felt like a pirate book, but in space.
Right.
And I mean, Rucka can do no wrong. So him writing about a father-son, like finding their connection,
yeah,
that the adult Scott never had with his father, freaking awesome. And that was one of those books that just never sold for whatever reason. And guess what? The next story that came around was not done by Rucka.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I like Greg Rucka. I've been reading Lazarus for a while, since the beginning.
Yes.
And I'm reading Wonder Woman. I liked Wonder Woman on and off, but man, it's tough to read.
When Ronnie was bitching about Wonder Woman, I told him, because he was complaining about the time jumps. Every issue, back and forth.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And I said, buddy, when these get traded, they're going to separate out that stuff, and then you're going to read a good story.
Yeah, maybe that's true, but still.
It absolutely is, because all I'm doing is reading the trades.
Okay.
And volume one, volume two is fantastic. Yeah. Just really, really good storytelling. But if I had to read them back and forth,
it gets confusing.
Caved in. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's confusing also because it comes out every other week. So it's like, man, I just wrap my brain around one story and then we're going to something else, which I don't remember because I've started focusing on this other story. It's hard for me to follow.
As well as focusing on your 25 other comic books that you've read in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's rough for anybody in your position. For me, reading the trade, fantastic.
Well, it's rough for Rucka also because he's tapping out.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame him.
He said this is too much for him.
Yeah, I mean, what writer wants to write when you're so used to writing a monthly book? Now you're writing two a month?
Yeah.
Come on.
And that's what I'm going to drop it as well because I don't want to – actually, I love the character of Wonder Woman, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't love it enough to buy it every other week. So
gotcha.
I'm looking for
who's the new writer. Did they announce that?
I don't remember. Okay. The only books that the DC books I'm reading at this point is Wonder Woman and Superman.
Dang.
And I'm upset with both of them because they come out every other week. I don't like. I don't. I don't. And actually, X-Men Blue and Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm really into right now, but I don't like books that come out that frequently. It's just too much, especially when you're trying to budget your comic selection.
Absolutely. You guys are reading quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's why I'm. Hey, if somebody wants to send me free stuff, free codes to read, I'll happily read whatever you send me. But until that happens, I will happily grab anything that like is on sale on Comixology or I can get from the library.
Oh yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't care that it's 8 months old; it's new. So, but like you guys buy all of these titles, holy Christ! I don't have the budget, nor do I have the room upstairs to store all the stuff.
I really don't buy nearly as many as Martin or Ronnie do. And Martin buys them like Bars buys the hard copies.
Mm-hmm. So, do you do DCBS?
No.
Wow, I thought you would do that just for the savings alone. Yeah.
No. So I have a comic shop I got this. I don't know if you're familiar with Charlotte, North Carolina.
But no, I'm not.
We have this like huge comic store that most everybody goes to, but I'm sort of on the outskirts of town. And this guy, the guy I told you about, who's a big time Warlock fan, just opened a smaller store near me.
Ooh!
And he's awesome. Every time I go in there, we get in these long conversations about comic books, and it's awesome. So I feel like I need to support him.
I like that.
And even though he's small, he never misses. Like, he gets all of my titles.
That's great.
Yeah.
So why hasn't he turned you on to Jim Starlin's Dreadstar, then?
I don't think that's ever come up.
Man. Well, then you yell at him for me. How that didn't happen. Because, good God, Dreadstar, I mean, that is cosmic Starlin at its best.
My gosh, when was that?
Ooh, 82? It was on the... Remember when Marvel had Epic?
Right.
It was like their offshoot for independent writers and authors, more like... it was more in like an adult vein.
Yeah.
That's where it was coming out at.
I should check that out.
So, like, I think Epic even did... Or they advertised it. They might have just pimped the death of Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Like, that's how I first heard of, that's coming. I wonder what that is all about. But that's how I got into Captain Marvel. It was through Dreadstar. Because Dreadstar, wow. I mean, Starlin had... First, he had a talking cat in it, which I always thought was cool. And then he had... He did this... It felt like Pirates in Space, which I always dig. I love pirates and I love cosmic stuff. But his robot designs are so slick. And I think that's sort of what hooked me. But like, no one recommended it to me. It was just me in a comic book store in 82 looking at it. And I'm like, ooh, I like Judge Dredd at the time. I thought he was a cool look.
Yeah.
And Dreadstar... Wait till you look at it. Like, look at some screenshots. Like, the main villain is very Thanos looking.
Yeah.
He's just big and bulky and like...
He looks like Skeletor.
He's like a third... Oh, no, that's some... That is another villain. But there's like this big, like, purple dude. And he has a look like he's a third taller than everyone.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But definitely crazy. Take a look at it. Like, he has a cool energy sword. Like, it's very dated. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
still
it's
sounds
all
like
of,
Skeletor.
It is all of like 1982. Okay.
I don't like. Yeah. Whenever I read that stuff now, unless it's something I already read and have a connection to, having read it before, I'm like, man, this is painful to read now. Like, comics have changed a lot.
Yeah, they're Guess what? Everybody wants to bag on Bendis, but he was pretty much the person that pushed out the, hey, we don't need to have internal monologues. We don't need to have exposition on page one that explains everything that'll catch the reader up. Right. Like, he threw that all away. And you look at all the modern writing, and I'm the same way. Like, I have to be in the mood to read 70s and 80s comics. But as soon as, like, the new modern writing started, I can read that stuff no problem. Yeah, that's very easy, and I want to absorb it all.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, try reading some, like, Golden Age stuff.
Yeah.
Man, it's brutal.
You got to be in the mood for that. Absolutely.
I was buying the Miracle Man reprints.
Oh, heck yeah.
And now some of that stuff was really edgy for that time. And even for now, some of it was really edgy. But when they would show clips of, like, the original Miracle Man,
mm-hmm.
when it seemed like, okay, this should be, like, on the funny pages, not in a comic book.
Absolutely.
It's like, I can't read this.
Yeah, it should be in, like, a Walt Disney's magazine.
Right.
Like, right next to Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, it's like, were people that, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I guess society at that point, this was something interesting, but.
Yeah, there's bridges of certain series, bridges that made it acceptable to go into more, you know, dark tones. Before, it was all just, like, very patriotic and you're against evil, you know, good versus bad.
Right.
Like, very cut and dry. But now, like, the shades of gray is crazy.
Yeah.
But it must be interesting for you. Like, I didn't read Infinity Watch or Infinity War until maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with that series. I think I even gave Ronnie some Quasar that I read. And I mean, I didn't read that when it was first coming out.
Yeah.
I got involved in, like, one of my buddies was really into cosmic books and he was just like, here, have a box of cosmic.
Now, did you read the entire Infinity Watch run?
Yeah.
See, that's like,
And I love me some Ron Lim. Oh,
yeah.
How does he not get, like, praised more?
That's my all-time favorite comic book run ever. And it's not super popular, but and I don't even know if it's good or not, or if I'm just totally biased because it's the first thing I ever read. But I love it, man. It's, to me, that's like the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
Because Gamora's in it. Yeah. Drax is in it. And mm-hmm. Drax, here's what people don't understand. They say, why is Drax so silly in the movies? Like, that's not how his character is. But if you read the Infinity Watch, that's exactly mm-hmm. how Drax was. He was like brain dead idiot in those books.
Yep.
Yeah, and Moondragon was in it. And Thanos was a member of the Infinity Watch.
Yeah.
So all the stuff that's happening now seems like it circles back to that in sort of a weird way.
And wasn't he, like, in the Savage Land or something?
Who?
Infinity Watch. Well, weren't they on an island of some sort?
Yeah, they were in the Mole Man's territory. Monster Island.
There you go.
That was Monster where their island. Base was.
Yes.
On
yes,
Earth. Yes. Yeah. So,
it was so fun.
Yeah, and he had the whole, like, underground base. Yeah, so they lived, like, on top of his underground base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember all the details, but I remember the Mole Man was underneath them and owned that territory, and sometimes he'd come up and cause trouble or whatever.
See, going back to your original statement, that had to be popular for a while. Or what? Why would they have put out Infinity Watch?
40-some issues?
Right. Well, I mean, that thing went on for 4 years, for God's sake. So somebody was buying that.
Well, it it was piggybacking off Infinity Gauntlet, which was a lot of people consider the best Marvel event ever.
Absolutely.
Even people that aren't like Warlock fans will tell you that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it came on the back of that. That was the fallout of it, because after they took the Infinity Gems from Thanos, Warlock, somehow they said, okay, well, Warlock sort of saved the day in Infinity Gauntlet, and he was the one that was able to be the protector of them so that that didn't happen again. They did that by putting each gem on a different character, and every character they chose sort of mirrored the gem. So, like, Drax had the power gem. Pip had the... I don't remember now. He was able to travel through time and space.
The non-funny gem?
I guess. I don't remember which one it was. But that's why it made it cool, because they each had a gem that gave them these unique powers. But the weird thing about that whole entire comic that still doesn't make sense to me today was that Thanos destroyed the universe with the Infinity Gauntlet. Yet in Infinity Watch, one of the members that Adam Warlock chose to protect the gems was Thanos.
It sounds like Thanos became really popular.
And they needed to pull him back in?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
You have to get out this continuity stuff.
Yeah.
And think of it in a marketing frame of mind.
Right.
Because how many times did Spider-Man, Wolverine, Ghost Rider show up in comics around 93 to 95? Or Punisher.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus H, really? You got to shoehorn in? And I mean, I love all those characters, but it's one of those, like, they don't need to be in every book. Come on.
Well, the reason it worked was because from, like, that point on, Warlock and Thanos sort of had this yin and yang sort of relationship, where even though one was, you know, by most people's definition, a good guy, and the other one a supervillain, they sort of had this respect for each other, and they got along. Like, even in Jim Starlin's new stuff, he has these three Infinity books that he put out that feature Thanos and Warlock. And Thanos and Warlock are like friends. Like, they're working together, even though they're on different sides. It's like you take the most extreme Democrat and the most extreme Republican, but they sort of get along and can sort of work together. And that's what he did with those two characters, which was kind of cool.
Well, I appreciate you didn't say that they were like brother characters, because that always drove me crazy when people would compare their relationship as brothers.
Yeah.
They were adversaries that completely respected each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you don't think Warlock wasn't looking at Thanos thinking, when's this guy going to turn? I know he is. He has to. Leopard don't change his spots. Come on now.
It's weird, though. It's like I understand this character, even though I don't. I think Warlock humanized Thanos in a lot of ways, because he was able to see, like, Thanos is this super bad guy that wants to destroy the universe. But because of the way I always read Thanos through the eyes of Adam Warlock, I always saw Thanos as somebody who if you just tapped him the right way, could sort of save the day.
Well, he wanted to destroy the universe for his love.
Right.
And I think that's what Warlock saw as a humanizing quality.
Yeah. Of course, it was his love for death.
Absolutely, for sure. Misguided. But where do you fall with Magnus?
What do you mean? That's like his alter ego.
Yeah. With the fantastic afro.
Yeah, well, to me, the way I've always read it, he's much worse than Thanos. Because he's just sort of the bad, you take all the bad from the character of Warlock and put him in a character, and that's what Magus is.
For sure.
Yeah, and there's no reasoning. Like, Thanos, even in the, like, Jeff Lemire's, I don't know, well, you're not reading it because you trade watch. Mm-hmm. But in, well, this is a little bit of a spoiler. Should I not bring it up?
I love spoilers.
In the current Jeff Lemire's Thanos, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without saying too much. No, but
say it all.
A twist where everybody who wants to kill Thanos, where he's such a bad guy, all of a sudden says, okay, stop. Thanos, we need you to help us defeat the real bad guy in this story. And that's, to me, how I've always pictured Thanos, is that, like, okay, he's a super villain, but hey, you can also rationalize with him, defeat the real bad guy. Whereas, like, Magnus, he's just like, that's just all evil. That's like the backside of Adam Warlock that is nothing but evil.
Magnus is the id. Like, completely uncontrolled.
Right.
It's like a 3-year-old child. Like, it is all base reactions.
Yeah.
That's why he's such a great character, even though I don't like his character model. I think that's super outdated.
Who, Magnus or
Warlock? Yeah. No, Magnus. No, I still like... Buddy, I like Moondragon. Like, that is so outdated. Yeah. Yeah. I still like it. And it isn't even a sexy thing. It's just a cool-looking thing.
Which Moondragon?
The one before they changed her with Abnett Lanning.
So when she's bald and...
Yes. But see, I also like Starhawk with the big, like, gliding wings.
Yeah.
That came out, which absolutely looked completely ridiculous, but right. Who cares? It looked cool. Like, I don't need everything to make sense. I'll go with cool factor 9 times out of 10.
Well, you know,
I love Magnus. I thought he was such a cool character, and he always, and like, it seemed like the colorist whenever, I think, didn't Lim do something with Magnus?
Probably.
I swear he did something. But I just remember the colors just being so crazy rainbow, like they were so oversaturated. But that's what made it fun. Like, yeah. You knew, like, this is going to be a weird arc. Like, you better, like, belt up for it.
There's been a rumor, I don't know if it's true, it's probably not true, but that he's going to appear in Infinity War. Magus. I think we've been saying Magnus, and that's not right. But
yeah, I do say it wrong, but that's all right.
That's okay. I started saying it too.
I've been saying it for decades that way. I can't change it now. It's
Magus.
Yes, there is no N.
There's a rumor though that he's in Infinity War. And did you know that Adam Warlock? I think it's pretty much confirmed that the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is going to center around Warlock. Have you heard of that?
Well, they had that golden egg thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they did, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they plugged it already. So that's cool. I'm hoping all this stuff, and they already have Gamora and Nebula, and they've plugged Moondragon also, because Drax was talking about Moondragon in the last movie. So
will Drax play a saxophone?
Nah.
Will Pip the Troll show up in Volume 3? Oh,
they gotta do Pip.
They don't have to do Pip.
But the only problem is Pip, like Rocket Raccoon is sort of, to me, the modern day Pip the Troll. So I don't think they have to do him.
You want it.
Yeah, of course. But the Guardians of the Galaxy...
You're such a cosmic guy. I love it.
Oh, for sure. And that's where Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going to launch the Marvel Cinematic Universe in that direction. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I just don't want any street-level characters heading off into the galaxy. I don't need that.
I don't think so. Hopefully they'll be smarter than that.
I hope not. My fingers are crossed. But who knows? Guess what? If Spider-Man is hitting home runs and all of a sudden his movies are making crazy amount of money, they're going to put Spider-Man into space. Guess what? Look at Hulk, for God's sakes. Where the hell, how the hell did he end up in Ragnarok?
Well, yeah, but that's the Planet Hulk storyline that they're pulling off of.
Oh, I know. Because and believe me, I'd rather like to have a Planet Hulk film than a Ragnarok film. But I'll take whatever the hell they're going to give me.
I'm hoping that's sort of what, that's why that happens. I hope they shoot him off into space the same way the Fantastic Four did in Planet Hulk.
You mean the Illuminati?
Huh?
It wasn't the Fantastic Four, it was the Illuminati. Remember that?
No, it was Reed Richards.
Yes, but he was part of the Illuminati.
Was he? Okay,
yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like, remember when all the heroes got together behind the scenes?
Yeah. I thought it was Fantastic Four.
No. Okay. Sue never knew about that. And that's even in Hickman's run. Hickman taps into the Illuminati quite a bit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Leading up to Secret Wars.
But I love that. Even I think that was one of the best, we have to separate the Infinity Stones. Like, I'm going to give it to Captain America. Don't tell us where you're going to bury it, what you're going to do with it. Just get rid of it. And I loved it because you knew all those stones were going to find its way back. Loved it. Where you just want to keep everything in space.
No.
Don't come back to Earth. We don't need you there. Which is true. I don't want to see Thanos on Earth. I want to see him up in a big spaceship or a foreign planet.
And his little armchair thingy.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, Thanos doesn't really... He's not really on Earth too often.
No, which is great.
But then again, the Avengers aren't very often in space. Infinity War is not an Avengers story, so who knows what's going to happen.
The Avengers need to go into space more in their comics. They used to do that a lot in the like 80s and 90s.
I think it's easier, though, to bring the Guardians to Earth than it is to bring the Avengers into space. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, nowadays, it seems like it doesn't really matter. Well, like, we'll figure that out.
The only reference point to the Marvel Cinematic Universe in space is the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're the only ones that have been there, you know, for their entire movies.
Yeah, true. So, but even look at the comic books. There's not a lot of space comic books out there either. I mean, in the last, like, 5 years.
And a lot of them that are wind up back at Earth for some reason or another.
Yep. Yeah, how long did you think Venom Space Knight was going to stick around? Come on. But when the Inhumans went to the moon and lived on the moon, that was pretty special.
Right. Yeah.
I'll take that over at the bottom of an ocean.
All right.
Oh. Jack, you made me want to go and pull out some Quasar.
Yeah,
and read some. Oh, man. You got me all fired up.
Man, I need to wrap it up. I just realized it's almost 1 a.m. here.
Yeah, no doubt.
See what you're doing to me?
Hey, we're talking cosmic. Come on.
Wind me up and...
How much cosmic talk's your wife going to do to you? Come on. You know that's the case.
Yeah.
Like my wife, I'll if I read something that's really engaging and exciting, comic book wise, the next day I'll be like, look, I know you don't even care about this, nor do you even care to hear it, but I have to tell somebody.
But just pretend to hear me out for a second.
Just give me 3 minutes and let me geek out.
I thought that's why you podcast though.
That sort of fills the need. But there are times where you're just like, I got to tell you, just this one thing. It drove me crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why we podcast till what? For 2 hours and 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Got to get it out, man.
Yeah, see, and then there's another archive episode in the wings if me and Ronnie don't record.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is like a Nerdy Legion. I always call them like, oh, these will be our evergreen episodes. As long as we're not talking about current crap,
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let's put this out in November when you want to take off for, you know, Thanksgiving or whatever.
Yeah, we were totally on subject.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as long as you're not mentioning, like, I can't believe Trump did this week. No one knows.
Right.
Nor do they care, really. It's when you talk about, like, man, that new Star Trek TV show, that looks awesome. When that comes out, we got to talk about that.
Right. Then I'm like, can I put that on a Marvel podcast? Well, see, on Nerdy Legion, though, you can put whatever you want.
Yeah, but that would be so dated if we held on to that, you know?
Yeah.
We've got to watch ourselves with that. But no, I don't get to talk about cosmic stuff at all. Or people will want to talk about cosmic stuff, and then for whatever reason, it'll go into, if I'm lucky, Green Lantern. If I'm not lucky, then they'll start talking about all of the sci-fi, not cosmic stuff, but sci-fi stuff that, like, Image is doing. And it's like, yeah, I'll talk about that, but you know what I really want to talk about? Quasar.
Oh, there you go.
And, yeah, Nova, and the Nova Corps.
You're welcome on here anytime. Hey, me and Ronnie have a hard enough time lining up schedules, so.
Well, with Ronnie and baseball, it's a tough one. Yeah, for sure.
So, all right, man.
All right.
Yeah, so thanks everybody for joining us once again on the Ultimate Marvel Podcast. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach the podcast on Twitter at Ultimate Marv Pod. Again, not Marvel Pod. Ultimate MARVPOD. You can reach Nick at Nick Wetmore, NICKWETMORE, and I'm at Jack Sutherland, JACKSUTHERLAND. Yes, I'm not a moron, I can spell.
Great chatting.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Let's do it again sometime.
Great, just let me know.
Yo, when they kidnapped your boy and forced me to do evil, I created an army suit to protect my people. Escape, vowed to be Iron Man the Great. The billionaire Tony Stark to renew your faith. Build Stark Towers, throw the biggest events. Got liquid armor, I can paint on dents. Keep a few bad chicks, I ain't your average hero. Movie premieres, hit me with the Zelda, De Niro, 6'6", to let him go. Playboy industrialist, face of a ghost. Minds of a technologist, specialist. Modern day speed slang therapist. Specializing weapons, I can blow on terrorists. So don't sleep, big homie. Real recognized and I can see you, phony. My weak heart can't take it. Got a lifelong sentence. Boy, genius grown up. And I fight with a vengeance.
Yeah, so thanks again. So thanks again for joining us once again on the... Yeah, so thanks for joining us. Sheesh, what am I, nuts? Don't answer that.